Lydia Panis is an award-winning visual artist working with photography and video, whose work has been exhibited widely in the U.S. as well as internationally. As the 2025 featured artist for historic Bethlehem museums and sites, she recently delivered the 2026 Schneider Lecture, and an exhibition of her work, Gorgeous Discontent, is at the Kemmerer Museum of Decorative Arts. A first-generation American, Panis was raised between Greece and the United States. Her work looks at identity and what lies below the surface, investigating questions of who we are and what we want to become. Her newest exhibition, Letters to My Mother, featuring photographs, drawings, and video, has just opened at Soft Machine Gallery in Allentown, Pennsylvania, where it runs through March 7th. Of the exhibit, Panis has said, quote, "Feeling unmoored after my mother died, I began writing letters to her in the form of drawings, things I have been unable to put into words. The drawings include lipstick impressions that echoed the way women in the 1960s and 70s pressed their lipstick onto tissue after applying it," end quote. The work merges writing, drawing, and personal artifacts to explore memory, loss, and the shifting line between private and public expression. In a more vulnerable and experimental direction, including video work, Panis invites the viewer to experience a broader reflection on grief, memory, and what remains after loss. This is WDIY 88.1, Lehigh Valley Public Radio, and you are tuned in to Lehigh Valley Arts Salon. I remain Kate Scuffle, your host, and this evening I'm talking with renowned visual artist Lydia Panis about her work and the creation of Letters to My Mother. So welcome, Lydia.
Thank you, Kate. Nice to see you.
It's good to have you with us. By the time this airs, the show will have opened, but best of luck with the opening reception and event.
Thank you.
This is, in many ways, the work is so much connected to your practice and to what you've always been exploring, but in somewhat different ways visually. But what was the seed of this? Can you go back and talk to us a little bit about how this work came to be, the time in Rome, what was going on?
So I was a visiting artist at the Academy in Rome in 2019. It was like the year before, right before COVID, luckily. And my mother had just died. So one of the things about my work is that almost all of my work is made here on the farm where I live in Pennsylvania. Nice. And so I was already, like, anytime I do a residency, as much as they've been really great for my practice and they really move me along, they're very unsettling. Like when I first get there, they're just unsettling. You know, the situation is different. I'm not really sure what I'm going to do. I don't have models to work with, which is what I was doing, you know, for a really long time. So there was this combination of feeling unmoored in terms of location and the fact that my mother had just died, which, of course, you know, it's unsettling in its own right. And so I think that those two things kind of merged when I started to, I had this little kind of studio and I wasn't really sure what to do, really. And as I sat there, you know, thinking and you know, I think feeling both unsettled in both place and with the loss of my mother. You know, I think for men and women, obviously, the loss of one's mother is a really big deal. For me, as a woman, you know, as a woman who loses her mother, and I mean, I had a very complicated relationship with my mother. So the loss was, I think it was complicated and I wasn't really sure what to do. So I sat in my little studio and I just, I had brought a lot of drawing paper with me. I've been planning ahead and thinking, what am I going to do with that? Any models to photograph? And I had brought these beautiful little Japanese pens that are extremely pleasurable to write with. My thoughts were clearly on my mother. I mean, the whole time I was in Rome, I was there for a month. It was April, I remember, of 2019. So I just started writing. But as I started to write, my thoughts were moving more quickly than my hand. Mm-hmm. And the writing started to turn into like almost scribbles, like almost like Cy Twombly drawings, mm-hmm. much smaller scale. And I was thinking as I was writing, you know, I call it writing, drawing. I mean, it's kind of both. And you can see in the drawings, like the way my thoughts start to, like, they get calmer, they get smoother, they get more intense, they get really, like, kind of jumbled up, they move all around the page. And it was all related to, like, whatever was I was thinking about. I was just having all these thoughts about our past relationship, about, being her daughter, being a mother myself, to my own daughter and my own children. And I started to think a lot. One of the things about my mother is that she was a, I mean, I was sort of dazzled by my mother on some level. I mean, she was a very attractive woman, but she was also a very powerful force, like in our family. And I think all little girls look up to their mothers in a certain way. I mean, we look up. I mean, this is how we learn to become women. I mean, I would look up to her to see, how to dress, how to behave, how to put on lipsticks. So I remember, like, as a little girl, like sitting in the back of the car, and we'd drive up to the driving machine. The banks used to have these, like, drive-ins, and I remember she would put her lipstick on right before we got to the drive-in window, and I would just be like, oh my goodness, she turned into a movie star. Like, I mean, it was fascinating, and I would watch her, and so I started putting on lipstick while I was there and pressing the lipstick the way she used to do onto tissue. So I started pressing it onto the paper, and then I realized I could write around it. And so the drawings kind of fit around the lipstick. So I'll put, I think if I remember correctly, because this was, what, 6 years ago, I would put the lipstick on first. And then these little lip prints, almost like our mothers did, back in the 60s and 70s. And then the drawings, like, fit around it. And it was obsessive. I just started drawing, and I was a page. I know they were like 8.5 by 11 page sheets, and I worked on drawing paper, I worked on vellum, I worked on tissue, tracing paper. I mean, I got really, it was such a pleasure to, I think, partially get the words out of my head and put them on paper, and I could almost see them visually. I felt like what I was seeing on the paper was almost a visual reconstruction of what I was thinking, while I was, quote unquote, drawing.
It's interesting looking at the images because I found myself, they're not for myself on the as an outsider, they're not literally hand, they're not words, written words per se. But there's something to them. I kept feeling drawn in, trying to understand it anywhere, to read it anyway, if that makes sense. It's very, it pulls you in very intensely. And it feels very intimate,
I mean, I made them in such an intense state, yeah, I mean, it was a very intense state, sort of, for me, just again, having just lost my mother and having been a and being away and feeling really uncomfortable, like, by myself at the American Academy, which is fairly intimidating in and of itself. So yeah, I mean, they were very intense to make, but such pleasure I did took making them. And then I put them away when I came home. I mean, I ended up making a lot of, it was like obsessive. Like every day I would just write and write and write. It gave me purpose. It gave me a certain kind of closure. I was able to, in my mind, right, and through my hand in with the drawings, say things that I had not really been able to either articulate or make clear to her, or have them be heard in any specific, in the way I had wanted them to be heard.
They weren't initially intended as the beginning. Let's say, for instance, of an exhibit like the one that's running at the gallery. This was a very private journey.
Oh, goodness, no. I mean, no, they were no, they this was a private exercise. It really to kind of almost fill the time before I found my real project at the academy. When you go on or at least for me, when I go on a residency, it takes me a few weeks to kind of figure out what I'm going to do. So this was just this very interim thing. And interestingly enough, when I came home, I just put them away. I didn't even think, because I ended up making some video at the academy. So that was what I figured. That was what I was going to do as my that was going to be my the work I had done. So I put them away and really didn't look at them again till like half a year ago. you know, like
And
5, 6
what
years later.
prompted that? What was it just has to do with just serendipity that you pulled them out again and started to work with them
I
again?
had been thinking about them. It's not like I'd forgotten about them. I was almost every once in a while I would pull them out and just look at them and go, God, these are so beautiful. But like, what would I do with them? This isn't what I do. I make photographs. Even though, you know, my career, I started out as a draw, you know, I used to draw and paint early on. I'm not particularly accomplished painter or anything, but that was my first love, you know, drawing. I mean, as a little girl, that's what I did. I used to draw. I mean, I used to get into trouble in school. I was much more interested in drawing than I was into listening to the teacher talk about math, for instance. So it's not that I forgot about them, but about a year ago or so, I spoke with Eva at Soft Machine Gallery, and we were talking about what work to show. And since Soft Machine is so open to like really more experimental work, I thought I asked her if she'd be interested, and I showed them to her, and she really liked them. And so I had them out on my studio, on my desk here, and I had a few people, visitors come in, and it would just be on the side, and like people would say, "Whoa, what is that?" And they'd be really interested in it. And so I started to get all this feedback, just private feedback. And even I started talking, and we realized like, but one of the things I did with the lip ones that are just lips, is I had a series of those that I had on drawing paper that I just put the lipstick impression on. So there are about eight or nine of those where I just have a lipstick impression, and I take it was one putting, you know, padding of lipstick that just starts to disappear as the lipstick starts to fade. I photographed those, and then I blew them up, and I now in the gallery show they're going to be 48 by 36 inch pigment prints. And those are the main piece of the show. They're going to be up on the walls. And then we talked about how about we put these letters up. So we have this really, really beautiful installation on these platforms that are very close to the ground with plexiglass over them. And it's all the letters like laid out. You know, you can walk around them, you look down at them, you can get close if you want, you can just see them as a series of letters, but they're very, very delicate and sensitive. And in comparison to the big lips, which are a whole different feeling once they've been blown up that large.
We're going to talk more about the exhibit itself when we come back from break in a moment. You've been listening to Lehigh Valley Art Salon here on WDIY 88.1. I'm your host, Kate Scuffle, and I've been speaking with award-winning visual artist and photographer Lydia Ponis about her work and about her new exhibition, Letters to My Mother, featuring photographs, drawings, and video, showing at the Soft Machine Gallery in Allentown, February 7th through March 7th, with a closing reception and artist talk on Saturday, March 7th from 5 to 8 p.m. And again, we'll be right back after this short break.
Tune up your week with a great variety of jazz music on WDIY, Monday through Friday nights from 9 to 11, offers many choices from the world of jazz, featuring traditional to modern styles, plus swing Sunday at 5 p.m. and improvisational jazz on the bridge Sunday nights at 10 p.m. Listen for new releases, interviews with artists, and information on upcoming performances right here on WDIY.
Welcome back to Lehigh Valley Arts Salon here on WDIY 88.1, Lehigh Valley Public Radio. I'm your host, Kate Scuffle, and I've been talking with renowned visual artist and photographer Lydia Ponis about Letters to My Mother, her new exhibition showing at Allentown Soft Machine Gallery through March 7th. You can also find out more about Lydia, her work, and accomplishments at her website at lydiaponis.com. So, Lydia, before we went to break, we were starting to talk. We talked a little bit about the kind of the seed of the show, where this had come from, the work had come from, and about how it came to be at Soft Machine Gallery, starting to describe what the actual exhibition is made up of and looks like. So the initial letters with the lipstick as well will be there, all 40-some of them, I believe.
Four, yeah, 45. Yeah, I'm not sure
Something like
exactly. Yeah,
that,
45, 40 to 45, I think.
and
Yeah.
then the larger pieces again. These are photographs you've taken of the lip impressions. Now, are they pigment or are they lipstick? I almost couldn't tell. They're kind of gorgeously lipstick impression, but almost kind of abstract and really vibrant.
It was lipstick. They are the originals, but the original, what I call them drawings. The original drawings are literally have lips. I mean, I put red lipstick on my lips. I mean, my mother used to wear this red lipstick, and it was in my little girl eyes. It was dazzling. She became somebody else. It was like, I mean, I feel like I've always kind of followed my mother's sort of fashion sense to some. She was very good with fashion, very easy. And I think that made it easier for me to kind of like, I mean, I like getting, I mean, I feel like easy about like, you know, getting dressed and stuff like that. And I feel like a lot of that had to do with watching her dress, you know, put on her brassiere and her girdle. And then that lipstick at the end was like, wow. And the care she would take, you know, with her hair. I mean, she was very good at it. Anyway, so yes, the actual drawings were actual lipstick. I had put on this red lipstick and I kissed basically the piece of paper, which, you know, on some level, I think it's like this, it's like a kiss, you know, it's like a kiss. And it does obviously have to do with my mother. And so the same lipstick that I kissed the first piece of paper on, I went on the second one and the third one and the fourth. And I think there are 8 of those. The very first one is a full lip imprint. And the number 8 is like just almost like the size, a little dot the size of one of my thumbnails. And then I have one more piece that will be sort of in the another section of the gallery, which will have 3 like vertical large lips. Like I think I must have done 3 different more lipstick, and then just because those are full imprints. And so then I ended up photographing those and blowing them up, you know, to very large prints. So they become a whole different animal once they're big like that. It's different in the on an 8x10, you know, 8.5 by 11 piece of drawing paper. Once they are blown up to that size, they become something else. The lips are kind of luscious. I mean, they're intense, but they're also kind of devouring. Yeah, they look like caterpillars sometimes. I mean, they look like a lot of things. Rorschach designs.
It's interesting. They almost have a sense of movement to me too. There's some very fluid, very active,
visceral, right? Something very visceral when they get blown up like that. I mean, literally in the gallery, when you stand in front of them, they are bigger than your head.
Wow. So there's also a video component of the exhibit. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, where that came from, how that relates to everything else? What does this represent, the show? How did that come about?
Yeah, so again, video is something that I started doing again right around 2017, 2018 with my previous project, which was the Sleeping Beauty project, which we might have talked about, I'm not sure. But I started doing video, and then when I went to Rome, again, I didn't know like what to do with myself. I ended up meeting this wonderful Italian and Jordanian, these two women, this Italian woman and this Jordanian woman, who took me under their wing and really made Rome like wonderful for me. And one day the Italian woman introduced me to the woman who runs the Feminist Institute of Italy. She was the chairperson of it. And her office happened to be in the section called Trastevere, which is right beneath, this is this very cool section of Rome, right beneath the American Academy, just like right down these big steps. So we had lunch at this institute. Well, it ends up that the institute happened to be an old, like a 17th century, I think, girls' reformatory that actually was running until like the 1950s or something. Whoa. It was a place where they put what they considered quote unquote wayward girls. And she asked me after lunch, she said, "Do you want to see the cells?" She took me upstairs, and there was a series of cells, white, you know, cement, with the only window, and they didn't all have windows, but the ones that had windows were on the ceiling, no air conditioning, no heat, just simple rooms like that. And that's where the girls were housed. They were maybe like 10 by 8 or something, 9 by 8, something like that. And so the project I ended up making from Rome was a video of this Jordanian woman that I met there. And it's on my website. It's called, the video is called, oh my God, I'm blanking on the title of it, but it's the one that's done in Rome. It's I'm blanking on it, but it's a woman in a very like a white space. She just kind of stood there, but it's like it's this room, this like surveillance room, right? This is where they keep girls, where they can kind of like watch them so they don't go out and, you know, do whatever they think girls do. So that's where I started like doing these videos of these women standing up. And when I came back, I continued that process. I ended up going up to Mass MoCA like the next fall, and I did more videos there, which led then to this idea of the, and the videos, those videos are kind of more women, most just really just standing there being themselves and really like looking is a very big part of my practice. It's kind of like, I mean, I learned to use my eyes as a child. It was sort of a survival technique for me. I learned how to really look and watch out for things. But the lipstick videos came about. Yeah, they're a little different. They're not so different, but one of the things that I do in all of my work that's really important to me is this idea of power and trust. And as the photographer, you know, you obviously have the authority, you kind of have the power. And I mostly let the women that I photograph, I mean, I don't ask them to do anything. It's like, you know, no expectations. Sort of like, you know, as a child, you grow up and you feel all these expectations. You're supposed to be somebody, you're supposed to be this, and you're supposed to be that. And what I try to do in my work is, especially when I'm working with models, is not to have any expectations. I always just say, no, don't, you don't have to do anything. You just be. And we just watch and we just look at each other. And in the end, there's this whole sense of how we've like looked at each other and how we both felt seen. Like I feel seen and she feels seen. And we've come out of this, you know, half an hour session or whatever by just kind of feeling, there's like a lot of love there, a lot of like kind of intimacy that's not about like talking. It's really about just being together and looking at one another. So the lipstick kind of adds something else to it. So during with the lipstick, I asked them to, there was no mirror in front of them. I just asked them to put on lipstick and they couldn't see what they were doing. And I told them that I think it would be very interesting for them to like smear it, you know, to let it get smeared. And, you know, smears like relating, really referring to, you know, the marks that are left behind, you know, the marks that we leave, the stains that are left behind from the things that we pass through, you know, as children. I mean, childhood, you know, is in general, childhood is difficult. Some people's is more difficult than others. And I think that, you know, it leaves certain kinds of stains. And so this whole idea of femininity and womanhood and the stains and the marks that are left behind that we carry and that we can be, you know, very ashamed of, in a way, I feel like this, I mean, I can't really explain the videos like real specifically, but I think all of that is in there. You know,
that's fascinating. For our listeners, the videos, there's several of them with women are applying. Yeah, I wondered if there was a mirror, applying the lipstick. And it's, again, it was interesting to me thinking of our mothers, thinking of that kind of image of femininity and whatever. There's a kind of sensuality to the lipstick itself initially. And then that sense of marking almost, when you're talking about staining, I thought about marking. They're fascinating and kind of a little bit unnerving as the larger lips. It's really, yeah, intriguing.
Well, I think that's actually the key, Kate. I mean, I like, the way you're feeling it is the way they're both fascinating and sensuous and also frightening.
Yeah.
Like there's something kind of frightening about it. And that's what I think kind of relates to the large lip prints too. They're both luscious and kind of devouring, you know, they kind of have both sides to them. Yeah. It's like conflict, you know, there's a conflict between, is it luscious or is it devouring? Is it sensual or is it scary? Is it this or is it that? And, you know, I think all of my work has that. I think all of my work has it on some level. Some of it is more subtle than others.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we're just about out of time. Again, to remind the listeners, this is Letters to My Mother, Photographs, Drawings, and Video at the Soft Machine Gallery, Ridge Avenue in Allentown. The show opens Saturday, February 7th. It has opened, and it will run through March 7th with a closing reception and an artist talk. Lydia, thank you again so much for joining us, and thank you for sharing the powerful work with us.
What a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And thanks to our listeners as well, of course. for joining us both tonight. I've been your host, Kate Scuffle, right here on WDIY 88.1 FM, the Lehigh Valley's public radio. I look forward to visiting with you again soon, right here on the Lehigh Valley Arts Salon. Lehigh Valley Arts Salon is supported by the Dexter F. and Dorothy H. Baker Foundation, who believes lives are enriched through a vibrant and enduring arts community, and invites you to join them in supporting the arts.